So the question of this Lord's Day is, why must we do good works? And the answer simply begins with who you are. Paul addresses the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, and he refers to them this way: to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. To be sanctified means to live a life more and more according to what God calls you to do in His Word. Sanctification means that you will see the call of Christ change your patterns of life, your patterns of thought, the very way you live. To be a saint, and every Christian is a saint, means that this increase in right living, this living according to God's word, is part of your identity, part of who you are as a person who is found in Christ and saved by Christ. This sanctification, this growth in the gospel, happens as sons and daughters of the Father in His Son Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Understanding this will help us to understand why exactly we are called to do good deeds. So, let's begin with the bad news and work our way to the good news. Why exactly does our culture try to do good works? That's a hard question to answer because there's many conflicting motives outside of God, because man inherently doesn't seek what is good. Jack Johnson says in his song, Good People, he says, "Where did all the good people go? I've been changing the channels. I don't see them on the TV shows. Where did all the good people go? We have heaps and heaps of what we sow." So he does recognize something that is going on. We have heaps and heaps of what we sow, and that's basically pain and wickedness. It is a lament. Many, because they're made in the image of God, have a desire deep down in their conscience to be good. But because of sin and how sin has polluted our nature, they either bury it under their rebellion or they think they are good simply because they give more to charity than most people in the world around. Or they establish their own form of morality apart from God's law, where maybe something like smoking a cigarette is terribly sinful, but taking marijuana is somehow better for the world. This is what the mind without God does. It constructs its own form of morality. But the Bible clarifies what is going on here. The Bible says that there are no good people, because as Romans 3 verse 23 states, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, every man, every woman." James, in James 1 verse 15, also gives a very bleak and a raw picture of what the human heart is inclined towards. And here in James 1 verse 15, we can read, "Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." But then we hear James change his tone. James writes in the power of the Holy Spirit in 1 verse 18, he says, "But he," that is God, "chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created." So there's not only bad news, there's also good news that is happening here. James is speaking of a good news for messed up people like you and like me. Rather than going from bad to worse, continuing to spiral into sin, we can go from being bad to living a life that is renewed, that is being made new by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is found ultimately in the life of good news in Jesus Christ. So this afternoon, you will hear the good news that is found in Jesus Christ, found in the Word of God and echoed in the teaching of the church in Lord's Day 32. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are being made new to give thanks by living a life of good works. And we will study the character of this life of good works under 3 points. The first point is the reason why we do good works. And you'll find this in question and answer 86A. Second, we'll learn about the result of these good works. Question and answer 86B. And then, in question and answer 87, we'll also hear a warning that is delivered in the catechism. So, why must we do good works? Why is this call there? We just heard about grace this morning. We heard about the grace of God, that is, by grace alone we are saved. And this is exactly why we do good works. We are thankful, simply because Christ has redeemed us by his blood. Think about it. Let the weight of these words sink in. You were enslaved to the devil. Your wants, your actions were held in his clenched fist. Lord's Day 1 calls this the tyranny of the devil. Without Christ, we live under the tyranny of the devil. He's a tyrant. He is a bully and wants nothing more than to keep us from the joyful life of good works that take root in our salvation in Christ. But, Christ has redeemed you. He paid that massive debt of good works and holiness which you owe to God and that you are unable to pay. The only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, descended into hell throughout his suffering. He was even rejected by his Father when his Father turned his face away. He shed his own blood so that you could be free from the tyranny of the devil. So that when the Father looks at you, he will see a son or a daughter whom he delights in. So that you can also know your Father in heaven and not the terror of living under the tyranny of the devil. This is why the Catechism begins with the confession that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. This means that if you have believed in the name of Jesus Christ, then, by nature of who Christ is, then you are no longer living in the darkness, but you are living in the light. But the Catechism has discussed this to great lengths in Lord's Days 1 to 31. And the focus of this Lord's Day is on the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? We do good works simply because the Spirit is renewing us. Once we believe and so belong to Jesus, something must begin to happen in our lives. Galatians 5:22 to 24 is an example of what happens. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When you, as a follower of Christ, desire to fight sin, when you go to war to pursue those fruits of the Spirit, you can know that the Spirit of God is at work within your heart. We can also pray for the Spirit of God, that the power of the Spirit would begin to make us into new people, not from the outside inward, but from the inside outward. When you truly understand the saving blood of Christ and the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, the only rational response is to grow in gratitude to grow in thankfulness. This means that our desire to live according to the words of Scripture is first and foremost an act of thanksgiving. We will show ourselves thankful to God for His benefits, for all the gifts of grace He has poured out upon us. In Colossians 1 verse 12 we read, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who has set you apart to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In Christ, we have a massive inheritance of grace to live in the light. Again, you are identified by your redemption in Christ, that you are delivered by Christ. Or as the later verses, Colossians 1 verse 13 and 14 read, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes to the glory of this kingdom, how can you not respond with a life of thanksgiving? There's no other life that is possible. And so we see that the triune God will be praised by us. As a result of the renewing power of the Spirit, you will make God great in song, in word, in action. When people see the people of Christ repent of their daily sins and run to Jesus in their weaknesses, there is nothing more glorifying to God than this. Paul writes to a church struggling with major sin issues in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. And he's reasoning with them from the basis of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body, in your very actions. Sin is at odds with your new identity in Christ. Rather, what you do with your body ought also to glorify God. People ought to see the way you are living and say, wow, they must have an amazing God. And you can glorify your God in your body in many ways. You can glorify Him at the gym, reading a book, drinking a beer or a cup of coffee with a friend, or even just simply rolling out sod in the front yard. There are many, many ways in which we can glorify God. When we live as members of the kingdom of light, the light must also shine in the darkness. And so we learn about the result of all this is that the light does indeed shine in the darkness. You have indeed been taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so then we see that the Holy Spirit also assures us of our faith by its fruits. This is question answer 86B. We have already read about the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus tells His students in Matthew 7, verse 17 to 18, He says, Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. If you grow a good tree, it's going to have good fruit. Later, in John 15, verse 5, Jesus gives an image of a vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We will see that fruit in our lives. James also talks about this in James chapter 1. He talks about this in the sense that if we have heard, if we have really heard the gospel, then we will also act on, we will also live out what we have heard. One of the results of your faith is that you will begin to see fruit. You will be both a hearer and a doer. Both, they come together. Sin doesn't disappear, but sin no longer reigns in our lives because Christ is reigning. This means that in the kingdom of light, an angry man is no longer defined by his anger, but sees the fruit of his faith and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. This means that his family and friends, those who are closest to him, will begin to see the changes in his life. He will start to move away from those patterns of anger. This means that a hateful lady will begin to see changes in her life as she begins to change, as she begins to reach out in love to those she once despised. Remember, this discussion is resting on the basis that Christ has redeemed and the Holy Spirit really is renewing. The next line of the Catechism says that the intent of this is that by our godly walk of life, our neighbors might be won for Christ. This does not mean that we should give off a picture of ourselves as the perfect painting that is all light and pastel colors. There is always a struggle. There is always an intense battle with sin. And the Holy Spirit is in the process of renewing us. And if the Holy Spirit is renewing us, then there's a fight happening. But it does mean that we should give a visible picture to the world around us of what it means to live in the kingdom of light, in Christ's kingdom. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 15, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it sheds light on all who are in the house." In the same way, the Christian is called to let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. People glorify God when they see the Christian living a life that is praising to God. Jesus has chosen his people not so that they can simply spend every moment of their free time in self-service, doing things only with the people they know. Jesus has chosen his people so that the light of his grace will spread out into the world around, so that men and women who are stuck in sin will flee death and will give glory to God. Of course, this witness is built on the assumption that there is in fact something to witness to. Have you been redeemed? Is the Holy Spirit renewing you? Then you've got everything to share. This grace of God is contagious. We should not quarantine this transformative grace in self-service and entertainment, but we will let this grace break out into the people who are in our lives, those who do not yet know Christ, and it will catch on. And so we also must hear a warning and a call to faith to those who are living in the kingdom of darkness, but think that they are in the kingdom of light because of their church membership or some other reason. And so in question and answer 87, we also hear a warning. The reason we do good works is because we have been forgiven. But if there are no good works, then there must also be a warning. There must be an openness and an honesty with God about our sin and the existing sins that are within the church. There must be an obvious walk that is happening in the Spirit. There must be a battle that is happening against sin. The Catechism here asks, can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent ways? The answer is, by no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, No idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like is going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you can see at least four scripture references that are underneath. We might have the notion that there are certain sins that are a lot worse than others. But notice that there are many different walks of life that are cursed by God. Because if there's no battle, if there's no fight happening with sin, these things are proof that a man or a woman's identity is not found in Christ. This extends to many different things, to fighting within the church, to anger problems. Our lusts want to squeeze out the work of the Spirit that is happening in this world. Simply, such sin is demonic. The Apostle Paul warns the church in the city of Galatia in Galatians 6, verse 19 to 21. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." Those who do not go to war against such sins, and yes, every Christian out there is engaged in this battle, but those who do not go to war against such sins and give in to those sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what it says in Galatians 6 as well. "We do good works because the road we are walking on has been trailblazed by the Holy Spirit. We do good works because we are redeemed and we are being renewed." And so, question and answer 87 comes with a warning. Do any of these sins reign in the place of Jesus? If it doesn't worry you, if you don't have a desire to walk in the kingdom of light that Christ sets his people free to live in, then there is, in fact, something to worry about. If you are walking in the devil's kingdom and not the Lord's, living a life where there's no fight against sin, living a life controlled by anger and rage, if you are living a life under the control of pride and self-love, yes, there's always a battle against these things. But if we are living under its control, remember, your life could be snuffed out in a car accident or from heart failure today. And then the question is, were you living in the kingdom of light, or were you living in the kingdom of darkness? If you were living in the kingdom of darkness, then the logical starter is that you have not been redeemed from your sins and you are not being made new. And that does not mean an eternity of light, but it means an eternity of darkness. These are serious words that question and answer 87 speaks here. But there is hope. You can be redeemed by Jesus. You can be renewed by the Holy Spirit. By God's grace, you can live a life of gratitude and praise to God. You can witness to the name of Jesus and also see the fruits of that witness in your life. You can be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, even if you have lived for a long time under the tyranny of Satan. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. James 1 here talks about being born of the word of truth. You can call out for that gift. He chose us to give birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. We can cry out for that word of truth. We can receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which he plants in our hearts and which brings good fruit and brings a life that glorifies God. We are able to have true religion, able to both hear and do what God loves. But for that, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit, that he would help us to taste the joy of the salvation and to give us the strength to fight for what is right. We have returned to the beginning again because the beginning is the only cause for good works. The mercy and the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ and worked out by the power and by the strength of the Holy Spirit. Remember, James 1 is about grace alone. He begins his talk on good works in chapter 1, verse 17, where he says, "Every good and perfect gift." Every good and perfect gift. The most perfect gift is the gift of the saving blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. So these gifts come from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Instead, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. A first fruits worked out by the power of the Holy Spirit, changing our lives to glorify.